The Gospel of Matthew, first verses of the New Testament. Matthew 1, verses 1 through 17, and then two verses from the Gospel of Luke as well, 23 and 38. And first of all, Gospel of Matthew 1, chapter 1, 1 through 17. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Thamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abijah, Abijah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Joatham, and Joatham begat Ahaz, and Ahaz begat Ezekias, Ezekias begat Manasses, Manasses begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren. About the time they were carried away of Babylon, and after they were brought of Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So, all the generations from Abram to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now we turn to Luke chapter 3. Read two more verses also from a family tree. Also of the family tree of the Lord Jesus. 23 and 38. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And then verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Thus far God's precious word to us this morning. Dear congregation, this time of year we have all kinds of family gatherings, and we come together and we connect, and we undoubtedly think about memories of the past and of what happened in the family, and we mention names, and we think about beautiful memories in the past. And here we have before us this morning a family tree, and we have a long list of names. What do you do when you have a long list of names? A family. It's a family with memories, with stories behind every person here in the Gospel of Matthew. And we are going to consider this family tree. What do you do when you come across, maybe not necessarily this one here because we know this is a glorious street because it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. But what do you do when you come across the family tree in the Old Testament? Do you skip reading all those names? Difficult to pronounce, perhaps. Maybe, children, you say, boring names, history. Or do we sometimes come to this list of names and we say, well, yeah, I think I know those names. I think I've heard them before. I can just skim it. I think I know it. And we don't slow down to wonder, to ponder, in order to worship. And that's what we would like to do this morning. To wonder and to ponder and to worship this, all these names. There's lots to say about these names. But most of all about that greatest name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Scripture tells us that every word is given by inspiration. And every word has something to tell us and something to give us so that we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, or if we are still unsaved, that we are called out of darkness to His wonderful light. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable, even Matthew 1, verse 1 through 17. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So may we this morning come and worship. Worship the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And may we come prayerful every time we have a list of names in front of us and ponder and wonder. And may it lead us to worship as we pray. Worship Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Because when we skip, we might actually miss out. Or when we skim, we might actually not come to the point where we say, this is glorious. So let's consider Matthew 1 through 18. We read at this moment the two verses of our text, 1 and 17. First of all, 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abram. And the second verse, verse 17, so all generations from Abram to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now, when we had a family gathering and an anniversary back in the Netherlands with my grandparents, my grandparents received a beautiful gift. It was a serving tray, and on it was a family tree. Now, I want you to picture this for a moment, because that's going to help us to listen this morning. There was an oak tree, or whatever kind of tree. There was a trunk, a sturdy trunk, and there were branches on that tree. And the trunk was the grandparents, and all those branches were my parents and my aunts and uncles, and there were the children also in the branches. We are going to consider Jesus Christ's family tree. And we are going to consider his deep roots. We are going to consider his sturdy trunk. We're going to look at those branches for a moment together, and then we want to see the whole tree. Those are the things we want to see, because this is not just a normal family tree. This is a very special family tree. It's the family tree of the only Lord and Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so let us begin with examining those roots, children, of this tree. Let's see, where is this? Where are these roots? Where is this tree in Scripture? Well, it's in the very first pages of the New Testament. Why is it here? Right here. And why does the New Testament begin with a list of names? With a list of names. Couldn't it start with something more glorious? No. This is glorious because here we see that these deep roots go into the Old Testament, all the way back to the Old Testament. Here it connects both Old Testament and New Testament together. Old Testament saints are mentioned in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. And New Testament saints, here is the center of history. Here is the person who is the center of history. Jesus Christ is his name. So it's here for a purpose. Right here. It connects us also back, all the way, those deep roots connects us back to creation. How? These roots go deeper still when we think about these first words. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abram. How does that connect to the Lord, to the creation? Well, if you remember, and if every Jew who would read this, and this was written for the Jews by Matthew, every Jew would remember those words from the first pages of Scripture. From Genesis. Where do we find these words? An echo of these words, right? In Genesis. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the heaven and the earth. And then, what does it say? It connects us right back to Adam. Because then it's going to describe the creation of Adam. So these words echo all the way back to the creation. They have these deep roots to creation itself, to Adam. But it connects us even deeper. It connects us to God himself. It goes deeper. And that's why we read also those two verses from Luke 3. Because that's quite a different family tree, and people have studied and compared both, and some have said, well, they are so different. But we are not going to into all the details, but there are explanations why these two family trees are different. One of the things is that it's in reverse order. But what did we read there? That last verse of that family tree, it connects Jesus Christ with whom? Or it connects through Adam back to God. Which was the son of Enos, it says in verse 38, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So it connects, even it has its roots all the way back to God. This tree, starting with creation, knowing about Adam, learning from Luke 3 that Adam is the son of God. But it goes even deeper. The roots of this tree go deeper. They go all the way through creation to God himself. They go deeper. They go deeper. They come to the fall. Because there's another echo in Genesis. An echo of these first words. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. That first Adam, who was the Son of God, we read there. What happened? The fall. The fall. That desperate fall in sin that you and I have been infected by. That desperate fall, that's why we are struggling with sin, or maybe even still you're in bondage of sin. The desperate fall, the reason why you and I all need to die. Well, here's the echo. Genesis 5 verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When the day that God created man in the likeness of God made him. He was to be the Son of God. And then he plunged into the desperate fall of sin. And what happened? In the day that he eat of that tree, what happens, children? You shall die. And that second genealogy, that family tree of Adam, what is the refrain of that family tree? It's all about us too. What is that refrain there? It shows that Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, they begat so and so, and they lived for a few years. and some long, some short, and then, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. It's that sad refrain there that tells us, that reminds us with these words, reminds us, the book of generation of Jesus Christ, it reminds us of the book of the generation of Adam, of which we are all part, and he died. That's going to be true about us too, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes. That's how sin and the curse has infected us. Tragic. Do you see the deep roots? Have you noticed those deep roots in your own lives of sin and death and curse? This is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Is therefore a sentence that is full of the gospel. Because here that word generation in Matthew, that means Genesis. It's saying to us this morning that generation, there is a new Genesis. There is going to be a new creation. Through these very words, there are going to be a new creation. Adam fall, plunged into sin. Creation was beautiful before Adam. Without sin, Adam had this beautiful son-like relationship to God. And now, here, these first words already tell us something of the gospel. There's going to be a new Genesis. There's going to be a new creation. And it is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Here is another Adam for us when we struggle with sin, when we struggle with death, when we are afraid of death, when we know the misery in which we are by nature. Because Romans 5 verse 12 tells us, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all of us men, for that all have sinned. Children, you can finish that sentence from another text, right? And fall short of the glory of God. That's about us. In Adam, we fall. But here is a new beginning. How so? Well, this new Genesis, think about it. Because there's more echoes to that first chapter of the Bible, Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth. And here is a new creation, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. He is the new beginning. How so? Because we know that when Mary and Joseph were not married and had not come together in marriage, what did God do? Just like in Genesis 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Spirit hovered over that new creation. So the Spirit comes and hovers, as it were, over Mary and brings the Son of God a new beginning, a spotless beginning, a pure beginning, a holy beginning. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Because Joseph, our text says in verse 17, or verse 16, it says, he was the husband of Mary, he was not the father. We have this whole list, and this one begat so-and-so, and so-and-so, and begat. Not so with Joseph. There's a break. He was only the husband of Mary because Jesus was born by a new creation of God. God taking himself flesh through the power of the Spirit. And that is the hope of the gospel. And that message comes to us from this very first sentence, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. For as in Adam all die, so we through faith are in Christ, will be made alive. Those are the beautiful roots of this family tree. And trees, we all know, have roots, but they have a trunk, children. They have a trunk. And the Lord Jesus has a very sturdy trunk in his family tree. Let's look at that secondly. What is that all about? Verse 1 again. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's the trunk. A sturdy trunk. Why? Well, the Jews would read this and would say, well, yeah, Matthew, you can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and you can claim that he is the Messiah, but it needs to come through David. It needs to come through Abraham. Otherwise, we don't believe it. Because the Lord has told us in the promises that he would be the son of David and the son of Abraham. That's the Sam. And that's also a sturdy stand for us. Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world, as we heard last week, who shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the anointed one of the Father. He is that Messiah, the anointed one. That's what it means to be a Messiah. He is the son of David and the son of Abraham. And we know those promises very well, children. Maybe you have memorized it during Christmas. That one promise to Abraham. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that promise that we sang about just before the service. That there will be one on the throne of King David. And that one will have an eternal kingdom. He will be the King of Kings. And God promised that to David. So when we hear those words, we see how God is faithful, how there is a sturdy stem at this, or a sturdy trunk at this family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's important for the Jews, but that's as important for us. Why is that so important? Because God can be trusted with his promises. Children, imagine that God would have said, yes, the Lord Jesus is coming from the line of Judah, he's coming from the line of Abram, he's coming from the line of David. And then Matthew is going to write, and he shows you, actually he came from the line of Reuben, or Asher, or whichever line. What would you say? Can God be trusted? Are his promises true? Can I trust his word? And when we hear those words, son of David, son of Abram, from the line of Judah, from the tribe of Jesse, we know God keeps his word. He keeps his word, he's faithful, he can be trusted. What are you trusting? Are you trusting in the Word of God this morning? Or are you trusting in the empty lies of the devil who promises you all kinds of blessings and happiness? You don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and death. You don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. You can just live your life the way you want it. That's what the devil tells us. Is that a faithful promise? No, it's not. The Lord Jesus Christ comes and shows, I am the one who is promised. I am the blessed Messiah. I am the Savior of the world. I am the son of Abram. I can give you true life. I can give you a new beginning, a new creation. I am that second Adam. I am the son of God. I'm the son of Abram. I'm the son of David. I will rule the entire world. My word is true. You can trust it. Are you trusting the word of God this morning? Are you in right relationship with this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, the Son of David? Have you submitted to him? Are you trusting in him? How blessed you are then when you trust in God's promises, God's fulfillment of promises. But someone says, well, yeah, you know, sometimes it doesn't look like the Lord Jesus is really a king. Look at the world around me. So many troubles, so many things that show the sin and the brokenness. How can that be? This world is filled with sinners and filled with darkness. Is Jesus really king? How does he deal with sin? Well, we have to consider something about the branches of this tree. When Jesus Christ came to the world, there was no earthly glory to that tree, was there? There was brokenness. There was sin. There was no glory to the house of David, the kingdom of David even. Now, there was promise too. Isaiah 11 verse 1, what does it say? And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and the branch, and a branch, that's Jesus Christ, shall grow out of his roots. So what is the picture there? That glorious tree that is supposed to be a glorious line. Someone has come and taken that tree, chopped off that trunk. That's what we see in those verses here. It's like some tree removal service has come. And there's only a stump left. That's what Isaiah 11 verse 1 says. Because what we find here in this text, in verse 17, it says that this genealogy or this family tree is divided in three parts. 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations. We'll come back later to why. But the first generation is from Abraham to David. There's the beginning. There's a hopefulness. God is going to do something. And then David, King David, high time. To the Babylonian captivity, this verses 7 through 11. What do we see? Rise, yes, hopefulness. Kingdom of Solomon, glorious. Kingdom of peace, but then a fall. And then the captivity. From the captivity to Jesus, there are all kinds of names that we don't even know about. People, we have no idea who they are. Deep darkness. Stump seems to be all only left there. Roots and stump. And now, there will be the Messiah. He will come as that branch. We heard that promise. But we want to see also more closely, how did he come? Through which lines? Through which branches of this tree? We see that when we look at the tree here, at this moment of history, it seems to be hopeless. It seems to be broken. It seems to be no glory. Maybe that's how your life feels at this moment. What does it tell us? It tells us here is a new beginning. Here is hope. Here is hope in Jesus Christ alone, in the Messiah alone. Because when we look at all those names, and we are going to do that. Well, let's start with David. Or with Abraham. Let's start with Abraham. Well, what about Abraham? Who was he? He was called by the Lord. Yes, got this special promise. Absolutely. Wonderful. But who was he before that? He was an idol worshipper. And God called him. And then he got the promise. Yes, he's called the father of all faithful. And he was certainly at his high point. He was faithful in believing the promises of God. And he's certainly an example for us like that. But what about Hagar? When he doubted those promises. You see the brokenness, even in Abraham. What about David? In verse 6. How does David... Yes, it says David the king. How is he mentioned here? David the king. It seems like a shout of joy. David the king. And then, David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. David is an adulterer. A broken branch. Maybe if that branch would be in our family tree, in our family gathering, maybe. I don't know. You would have liked it. But Jesus comes through a line like this. A line of David. Abram, David, Bathsheba, their name is not even mentioned. They're all telling a story. The story of brokenness of humanity, of sinfulness. And there are three more women here. Normally, women were not mentioned in family trees and genealogies. It's only through the line of the men. But here's another one. Verse 3. Tamar. We know she had an illegitimate relationship with her father-in-law, Judah. Tamar. Next one. Rahab. Well, what was she doing before God saved her? She was a harlot in Jericho. Or she was redeemed in body and soul. And Ruth, who was she? Verse 5. She was a Moabitess. What did God say about Moabites? They were not allowed to be in the temple, the tabernacle, in the worship of the Lord till the 10th generation. Deuteronomy 23:3-5. And yet she came. And yet she became part of this tree, this family tree, this line through which Jesus Christ wanted to come. And all these women probably are women who were not from Israelite pedigree. Tamar, probably a Canaanite. Rahab, probably also definitely a Canaanite from Jericho. Ruth, a Moabitess. And Bathsheba, probably a Hittite because Uriah was a Hittite. Gentiles included in the family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ. Women, non-Israelites, outcasts, immoral people included. Broken branches. What about those godly kings? King Uzziah. Ozias, it says in verse 8. How did he end his life? He ended his life as a leper because he didn't obey a broken branch. He wanted to sacrifice, and God said, no, that's only for priests. Another godly king. Yes, there is a godly king here. Hezekiah. What did he do? He showed all the gold to the Assyrians. Proud. Proud of his possessions. Godly king, absolutely. What does it tell us? Broken branches, even godly kings. Saved by grace alone. Through faith. What about those godly kings who had ungodly sons? Solomon. His son was Rehoboam. We know that Rehoboam was not a godly man. Hezekiah. He had a son called Manasseh. Josiah had a wicked son, Jeconias. It shows us that there is so much brokenness. Godly godly men and women can have ungodly children. It shows that that we are saved by grace alone. It's not by our parenting skills. It's by grace alone, through faith. And then there are those branches who are broken, notoriously bad people. We already mentioned his name, Manasseh, children. Do you remember what happened with Manasseh? He was the most bloody king there was. He was the most undeserving person. He filled Jerusalem, it says, with the blood of innocent people. He would say, is God going to save a king like that? Yes, he is. He was undeserving. He comes into the prison and he's in bondage there in Babylon. And he cries out to the Lord. And what does the Lord do? He saves. He saves Manasseh. He saves Manasseh. notoriously bad king. And Ahaz was also an ungodly man. Also here included in the line, he was an idol worshipper. He did child sacrifice. He stripped the temple. He defiled the worship of the temple. Included, broken branch. Obscure branches, Ezram and Aram, we have no idea who they are. What is the lesson here? God saves only by grace. And He saves through brokenness. He saves sinners. He saves ungodly people. He saves Jew and Gentile. He saves the known and the unknown. The obscure. Isn't that just like the gospel? Ruined sinners of all stripes and colors are being saved by the power of this Messiah. Would we want these people in our family picture? But Jesus says, I want to come through this line. I want to come through this family. Wouldn't he rather say, well, we don't talk about that person because... But he comes and says, I come for David, an adulterer. I come for Rahab, a harlot. I come for Manasseh, most wicked king. And I'm not ashamed to have those people in my family tree. I come for a Judah with Tamar. Because I am the lion of the king of the tribe of Judah. I want to be associated with that name, Judah. I want to come for Rahab. Redeem her body and soul. Come for David. When he confesses his adultery. And I want to be called the son of David. And I want to bless his son even. That comes through adultery. Solomon. And I want to have his name too. I'm the greater Solomon. I come for Manasseh, a wicked king. And he cries, who was trapped in his wickedness. And I set him free. I come for outsiders, for Ruth, the Moabite, who is cursed to the 10th generation. What about our curse? Sin, death, hell. I come for nobodies. Through nobodies. Broken branches. And I can bless you. I come for godly parents with ungodly children. I don't cast you out of my family. It's saying to hear us here this day, come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. There's hope for the greatest of sinners. When you think about your loved ones, when you think about the wayward, there's only hope in Jesus. And that brings us to our fourth point. There will be a glorious tree. There will be a glorious tree. Because here we have seen something of how there are these broken branches. But we have also heard about Jesus, how he comes with a new beginning, an altogether new beginning, with as he comes as the sinless second Adam. But there is something more beautiful here to show you. In this passage, there is something beautiful because this genealogy is shouting one name. We need to read verse 17 for a moment. So all the generations from Abram to David, 14 generations from David carrying away into Babylon, 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ, 14 generations. This is a verse that tells us something special. This family tree is three parts. And there's 3 times 14. And 14, you need to understand, is the numerical value that was related to David's name. If you have David, D-V-D, those are the Hebrew letters. You count them, they have a number. It's 14. So what is this saying? 3 times 14. David, David, David. So what is it saying to us? Here is the most important David in the whole world. The greater David. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Messiah. Here is the climax. He is the greater David. It's shouting to us. You and I need a greater David. You and I need to be connected to him, to his family tree, to connected to sinners, Gentiles, nobody. He connects to sinners and Gentiles and nobodies. How does he do that? It's even in this text. There's one more thing here to notice. It's beautiful. Because have you noticed that it says in verse 2, Judas and his brethren. And then it says in verse 11, Jeconias and his brethren. And we just heard that it was 14 names, 14 names, 14. There's a three-part division here. And his brethren, the first part, is connected to Judas or Judah. The second part, Jeconias is the one who's named with his brethren. Third part, did you see? Did you notice in the third part? There's no "and his brethren." Why is that? Because it's wanted to grip our attention and say, who are the brethren of the one who is also starting with a J? His name is Jesus. Who are those brethren? Who are they? Who are they? They are sinners. They are Gentiles. They are nobodies. And Matthew gives an answer to that question too in chapter 12. When Jesus himself stands there and his brothers and sisters come and say, we have privileges, we have a special place with Jesus. He says, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And then he says, whoever does the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my mother and sister and brother. What is the will of Jesus Christ? What is the will of the Heavenly Father? That we would believe on this greater David. That we would believe on Jesus who gathers brethren. Greatest sinners. And he includes them into a tree. A glorious tree. And he comes, and the New Testament tells us, what are these people all about? Well, they are a catalogue of sinners. And then 2 Corinthians 6 says, and such were some of you. They are included. Sinners, notorious sinners. And what does he do with those brethren? What does he say? For you are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise. He says, you are heirs. You belong to me. You are my brethren. For such sinners, he's come to include them in that tree. What tree? What tree are we talking about? Luke 13. Luke 13 talks about a tree. It's not a family tree necessarily, but it is a tree. It's a tree of God's kingdom. What does it say about that tree? It's like a tiny grain of mustard seed. It's put in the ground, which a man took and cast it into the garden, and it grew, and it waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. That's the tree of Jesus. That's the more glorious tree. That's the glorious tree of the greater David. That's the tree of the one whose name also starts with a J, Jesus. And who says, I'm looking for brethren who believe in me, who trust in me, and I make you part of my family tree, my kingdom tree, my glorious tree. The tree that spreads all over the world. So big, so great, so glorious. It's rooted in the Old Testament. It's rooted in the creation. It's rooted in all the way in the beginning. It has this sturdy trunk of Abram and David. It connects to desperately fallen sinners like us. Broken sinners with all kinds of troubles and trials. And he says, come, I make you part of my tree, and I call you a child of God. When I forgive everything that you've ever done, because I hang on a tree, on the cross, for your sins. Come to this Jesus Christ. Worship him who hang on a tree and who says, my tree is going to spread through all this world. Don't worry. My kingdom will be there. They will all be there. They will all be there. What a tree. Daily are there added such as should be saved to this tree. Are you added? Do you trust him? Do you trust his promises? So as we close, don't skim over these things. Ponder them. Read them. Look at the details. And worship Jesus Christ. And know that he is the Messiah. And know that his promises can be trusted. And know that he comes for broken sinners. The gospel from the tree, family tree of Jesus. And don't skim over it, because God can use it. I've got a story for you children to close with. I was in Papua New Guinea. There was a missionary, and he was translating the Bible. And then he came to this part, especially Luke 3. And then what they did, he wrote it, he translated it, he wrote it. And then there was a group of people sitting around the table, and then they would translate it back to him so that he knew, is it correct or no? It's always something that he found very... He was always nervous. And then he came to Luke 3, verse 23. Son of Joseph, all the way to son of David, all the way to the son of Abram, son of Methuselah, and so forth. And then it was building to that climax that we read together. The son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of God. And when he read that whole group started cheering. We're full of excitement. Jesus connects us to God. They understood it. Their faith was strengthened by a genealogy, by a family tree. And that's the same God we serve today, who can say, I make you part of my family tree, my kingdom tree. I strengthen your faith through this, my family tree. Amen.